time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, September 28th, 2020. So good to have you here with us. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our goal is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. Anyway, today's hot topic. Very excited to have Brent Emler joining me, our sponsor with Velma. And the aim is to discuss what Velma's doing and how they've been busy working on some new loan officer tools. If you're a loan officer or someone in responsible production or interested in bringing some new tools to your loan officers, you will want to listen to our hot topic discussion today. It was really good. And we had Brent on as a guest back on April 2nd, 2018. Finding the right mortgage marketing solution is one of the ones we did. Go back and listen to that. A link is in the show notes. But you're going to enjoy today's podcast. We had as our special guest joining Brent is Kim Baker. Oh my gosh, she's VP IT Programming Manager at Highlands Residential Mortgage. I got to tell you, I'm going, you're in IT with a personality as outgoing and bubbly as this? Oh my gosh, this is one of those amazing conversations we had. Really good. You're going to enjoy the interview if you stay tuned to the Hot Topic segment. We're proud to be a part of the industrysyndicate.com. Check it out. We value all of y'all. As we say here in Texas, all y'all are valued. Anyways, another group we're very grateful for is our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, as well as Finastride, as well as Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, and then CMLA. We had on CMLA represented last week. Very good interview, as well as Indicom, Incelerate, as well as Ainsworth Advisors, AI Assist, Celebrity Home Loans, Innovient. Oh, that's an interesting business intelligence tool with secondary marketing pricing. Really got to check that one out. As well as our friends at Knowledge Coop, Mobility RE, Modex, and Velma, Vendor Surf, Vineyard. And of course, our regulars, Alice, Andy, Alan, and Matt, with their contributions each and every week. So grateful for you, our listeners, joining in. Check out all of our sponsors on the sponsorship tab. So let's get over to the Rob Van Rapport's MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapport. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. On Tuesday, the FHFA published an updated strategic plan for 2021 to 2024. This plan highlights FHFA's ongoing and future efforts to oversee and reform the GSEs, as well as improve its own operations. The reforms include a fair playing field for large and small lenders, steps to ensure the activities of the GSEs stay within the bounds of their charters, and a well-functioning uniform MBS that's widely accepted by market participants. FHFA also notes its intention to responsibly end the conservatorships of the GSEs and its greater desire for examination authority with respect to non-bank servicers. FHFA will accept public comments on the plan through October 5th, 2020. MBA's annual convention will take place October 19th through the 21st and will be an all-new online virtual experience. Speakers will include FHFA Director Mark Calabria, HUD Secretary Ben Carson, and CFPB Director Kathy Kraninger. For more information or to register, go to mba.org. That's it for now. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good job, Rob. Thanks so much for reporting that with our listeners. Did you hear that when you said you reported in there that Mark Calabria is trying to find a responsible way to end conservatorship? Now, there is the challenge, responsible way. There's some of the ways that it's come out so far is some would suggest me not so responsible. So anyway, we'll see how that is. We're going to be talking about that next week. We're going to get the regulars together. We got Alice, Andy, Alan, and Matt. We're going to talk about some of the issues that are going on. I'll try to get Les Parker involved in that conversation as well. But very excited about talking about these things. Is it possible to have any kind of divestiture of Fannie and Freddie by the federal to end conservatorship? Is it possible? Well, we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more, so be sure to check that in. Let's get over to Les Parker and hear what Les Parker has to say with the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets. Les?
Hey, hey. Bye-bye. TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Power Seller, making hedging easy.
Bulls moving the past night. Bears probably going to start a fight. Can we know that it's right?
Hey, baby, come on.
Confusion reigns while nervousness rises. Do bulls or bears win in this environment? Will mortgage bankers see the return of wild April this fall? Last week, some countries threatened renewed lockdowns. It surprised the global markets as the science is overwhelming that lockdowns do more harm than good. When we get through this distraction, look for the bears to gain traction. 3% mortgages will be back in fashion. It might sound crazy, but 3 ain't no lie. These are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter. Bye-bye.
I love it. Les Parker and Gary Kenchabone do on that segment. Good job. Love it very much. Check out tmspotlight.com. Subscribe to Les's free newsletter, as well as you can put in a special code. And if you go do the spotlight, you'll see his sponsor you heard about there and put in that. You get the paid version for free. How about that? Matt Graham. Talk about a valuable service, mbslive.net. Love this service. Have it open all the time on my screen behind me and thoroughly enjoying it. Matt, what do you got for us today? What's going on in the real world of real-time market conditions?
Hey, Dave. So we have some crushing news to talk about today. Last week, we'll start there and talking about this housing resurgence that we have been counting down and that we know must be living on borrowed time, because how could the numbers be so good post-COVID with all of the hurdles that are going on? Loans are harder to do operationally and people aren't wanting to go out and buy homes. People aren't wanting to sell homes. Yet we've had these tremendous numbers and it surely must be living on borrowed time, right? So existing home sales, here's your crushing news. It only grew about 2% from the last month. And this drastically cools down, back-to-back gains roughly 20%. So surely the housing expansion post-COVID is over. Last month was a record of going back almost 14 years, and this month only improved on it. If you look at a chart of this thing, being at 6 million homes in terms of annual pace, that's the highest we've been in nearly 14 years. It looks absolutely stellar. It beat expectations. And it's just the housing market continues to defy expectations. And that was not the only piece of good news for housing that I will no longer pretend that the good news is bad news, but you had to have the hook at the beginning. Let's talk about home prices. I could set that one up a little bit for you too, because we could say home prices only grew at the same pace as they did last month in terms of FHFA's house price index, 1%. Yeah. It just so happens that back-to-back months of 1% are a record for FHFA data. And that's not just a 14-year record. That's one going all the way back to the beginning of their series, and it outpaces just barely what occurred at the peak of the housing boom before the mortgage meltdown. So tremendous gains in home prices there. And then now let's talk about new home sales crushed the forecast, topped a 1 million annual pace for the first time since 2006. And by the time we look at these three pieces of housing data that came out at the beginning of last week, we might wonder, is there some kind of housing bubble going on? Like, how could things be so good? And I would say, no, it's impossible to know when a bubble is truly happening. I think we can all look around and say, we're definitely not seeing a lot of the things right now that we saw in 05, 06. We also know that there was a big bottleneck of housing demand, and then it was added to by people wanting to make changes in light of the pandemic. And all of the activity that was suppressed back during lockdowns is continuing to get pulled forward. And I think we're just seeing more of it than we probably thought there would be. Builders are flourishing because everybody wants to move to the suburbs. So anyway, builders building in the suburbs, people wanting to move to the suburbs, not a big surprise to see new home sales flourishing and home builders extremely happy. From a market standpoint, the week ended very flat. The whole week was very flat. Treasuries, MBS, one slight feather in the cap for the mortgage market was that after a couple weeks of weakening just slightly, MBS improved just slightly last week and a little bit the week before. And that sort of leveled the playing field between Treasuries and MBS. Anyway, So MBS have leveled out their outperformance or underperformance versus treasuries because volume or supply volume has dropped off a little bit. And I think we had a high volume of locks over the past few weeks as people were trying to beat the adverse market fee. And as that has leveled off a little bit, there has been lower MBS supply, and that's allowed MBS to outperform a little bit. Real quick, coming up in the week ahead, nothing significant on the calendar today. Tomorrow we have Case-Shiller home prices, so we can see if that is going to corroborate FHFA's rosy outlook on home prices. Wednesday, ADP employment data gives us a little bit of a preview of Friday's big jobs report. Then we have the final reading of GDP for Q2, and that's really old news by this point. Nobody's really going to care. Chicago PMI at 9:45 and pending home sales at 10 a.m. This is the more timely view of existing home sales. It will give us probably our best glimpse or our best chance to see if anything is going to be leveling off on the home sales front. With us, as always, jobless claims on Thursday, and then core PCE inflation, which neither the Fed nor most economists are expecting to show any kind of uptick just yet. Could be years away on that. ISM manufacturing at 10 a.m. And then, of course, on Friday, the big jobs report, which probably isn't going to matter again because we are waiting on so many things for quite a while before that is going to be significant data. And not the least of which being the election, which seems to be one of the driving forces keeping markets flat between now and then.
Yeah, very interesting. Driving forces, a lot of them out there in the market. But if you have MBSLive.net, you will be able to stay on top of exactly how the driving forces are impacting interest rates. Thank you so much for bringing us a good report. And I love this service, folks. You have got to sign up for MBSLive.net. You can use the LOL for Lickin' on Lending as a sign up code and get an extended trial, and no credit cards are required.
And if you sign up and forget about it, we will credit you back if you didn't mean to anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the good people do. You're good businessmen. It's a great service. I don't know why anyone would want to cancel out. It's that good. That's how much I love it. I bought a special TV and put it behind me, and I look at it all the time. It's up all the time. So good job. Appreciate you so much, Matt. Let's get over to Alice Alvey. Alice is here live with us, and Alice is CMB Vice President of Education and Training for Union Home Mortgage. And she's got this week's legislative update. Alice, good to have you here with us.
Hi, Dave. Thank you very much. So, hi, everybody. A few things just to help clarify what Rob Van Rapport said earlier on the MBA advocacy. This is a big deal that FIFA has put out to request for public input on modification to the GSE duty to serve plans. Think about those as what is it they have to do to serve the industry? What are their basic requirements? And so it's a chance for lenders to jump in and talk about whether or not this is the right thing. Now, a lot of companies feel there's a challenge with community lending objectives and other areas. So this is worth taking a look at to make sure this aligns with what is going to be beneficial for all of us, including lenders. So this have to be back in on that by October 5th. So right around the corner. The House did pass a continuing resolution to get us through December 11th. So that gives us another 2 months-ish to be able to make sure that we try and get some kind of a budget. Remember, this is a big deal, especially for rural development loans, where we've got to make sure we're going to get the guarantee on the loans if the government does shut down. So we don't like any chance that happens. So we're grateful for the continuing resolution there. And then two bills that were introduced last month that we should keep an eye on. No big movement yet. H.R. 8003 is Helping Homeowners Act. So this is going to require communication within 31 days. So if a borrower is 31 days late on their payment, lenders are going to be required to talk about the forbearance. So today we can count on that the homeowner knows about it. This bill is proposing that servicers would be required to post on their website, make sure notification went out to any borrower who was 31 days late or more, and we'd have to offer it in English and in Spanish. One of the key things about this bill and another bill is changing the definition of federally regulated mortgage to covered mortgage. And that starts opening it up for other types of mortgages for manufactured homes. And I even saw on this next bill, they're throwing in recreational vehicles. Hey, everybody's gone out and bought one. So we get a relief and forbearance on those too, right? Because some people are living in them, right? Could just be on permanent vacation when you work remote. So this bill is Senate 4519. by Kamala Harris. It's very lengthy. It is called the COVID-19 Mortgage Relief Act. This is really a bill we have to watch because it is really trying to stretch out the forbearance window. Right now, a lot of that forbearance guideline that was in the original act is more like 60 days, but this is really trying to extend it for up to one full year and be it automatic forbearance. So the minute somebody is late, they would automatically be assumed to have requested forbearance, not that the homeowner has to actually make the phone call. Today, they have to make the phone call. It goes on. There's a lot in here. It will change the way credit reports are looked at. It's trying to exempt treatment of bankruptcies and foreclosures as a result of this. This is a bill we have to watch closely to make sure it doesn't get legs, because this will really make it difficult. Basically, it'll be forgive everybody in a mortgage if this bill starts to move forward. So I don't mean to sound too inflammatory there, but we have to dig deep on the wording on this one and make sure we get it right if this starts moving anywhere to extend the forbearance rules. So that's my report for today, Dave. That was Senate Bill 4519. Back to you.
Thank you so much for your report. You're doing such an amazing job. I'm really looking forward to your participation next week in the Hot Topic segment when we talk about the roundtable stuff, because you were really doing some fun, cool, amazing things up there. But it's also nice to know run companies like Union Home are struggling with some of the things that others less well-run are also struggling with. So there'll be some misery likes company, and you guys are going through it like everyone else, but you guys are doing a great job. I'm looking forward to your participation next week. Thank you, Alice, for being here this week. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Dave.
You bet. Let's get over to Alan Pollock with a tech update and what's going on this week in the world of tech. Alan, did you see that it happens to be one of my clients was the first to go live with the digital human? I don't know if he's Shashank, which is the client of Arcus Lending in Southern California. I'm the one that introduced him to the digital client. He says, I want to be the first to market. And he was. The big press release went out. And it's pretty exciting. And you were started with the digital human, Alan, do you not?
It started with my nonstop barraging of you of everything I was doing and making sure that you understood. It's amazing. And by the way, I still talk quite a bit to the guys at Unique. And actually, their head architect and I have a call this week. They're just doing such cool stuff. But they have a launch pad, but there are others that are catching up to them. It's funny you brought that up, David. I got a random email, and usually I delete a lot of those solicitations that hit your inbox.
Yeah.
But this one was interesting. You put in some text, and your person automatically says what you want, and you can use it to create little training videos across your site. So instead of someone calling support, you do so. And Unique does the same thing. So all I'm getting at is it is popular, and it's picking up. But I want to talk about some other crazy stuff going on in Gen Z. But before I do, I was looking for mortgage, technology jokes, and this is a tech joke that came up. Where's Waldo? I think everybody does, right? Those famous pictures before computers were around were our kids. Before we gave them tablets, they had the book with all the different scenes, and you had to pick them out. So this one shows a picture of Waldo in distress all by himself. He's holding a phone in front of his face, and it says, Google would like permission to use your location. And he looks like he's not sure what to do. It's pretty funny. So you got to be a Where's Waldo fan for that one. Anyways, lots of great stuff in tech. The biggest news out there right now, which we're going to get into in a second, is iOS 14. I know we touched on it last week, but I'm going to talk about Gen Z and in our industry. But first, a couple quick things about our industry. First, a company called Active Comply. Now, this was in the Rob Krisman report. I read his report every day like most of us, but I'm off the wagon for a couple of days. And so I had to catch up. And I found so many great things in his articles. Anyway, he featured a company called Active Comply, and they said, did you know that the FFIEC has outlined that lenders must have a good social media risk management program? And what that means is under the guidance, lenders are required to monitor and control social-related media content to their brand as if it were traditional advertising, and it means it has to be archived, it has to be searchable, and you have to meet state advertising record retention laws. Now, David, you probably remember many, many podcasts ago, we talked about a company that actually would do social media searches on your loan officers and even on borrowers. Anyways, Active Comply does very similar. It looks more like they're covered in regulatory audits and penalties and helping you stay risk averse in this area. So check it out. Everything we keep talking about, building efficiencies and loan officers and borrowers, still can't take your eye off the ball in this area too. So check that out. Active Comply caught my interest. Yeah. Alice, you may have brought this up. Fannie Mae's DU validation service. I don't remember if you did, but I'm going to mention it anyway. They are discontinuing validation of employment and income using manual verification reports. So you got to get digital, people. Got to get digital, especially if you're selling to Fannie Mae to you. It's just the change of the time. So again, more on the technology side, got to stay up to date. We got to be investing in technology, especially in areas that not only make Lyft, but help validate the accuracy of our loan files. And that's not news to anybody. Yeah. This, David, UWM is so big in the wholesale space and in a bunch of different things. Anyways, they just released a mobile app saying that their brokers can now virtually handle every aspect of the lending process from underwriting through clear to close without needing a desktop computer. And that brings me right into Gen Z. Check this out. So we talked about iOS 14, right? We talked about how important it is because it lets you customize your entire screen. Apparently, I'm not an Android fan, but Android already allowed people to customize their screen. But iOS, Apple took a completely different approach and created something called Smart Widgets. Anyways, it's really funny. My kids start messaging me saying, hey, Dad, I want to install the new iOS update. And my immediate response is, don't touch your phone. I know it's going to happen. It's not going to go in. I'm going to spend an entire day fixing. I have three daughters, all three of your phones. It's going to be a mess. Anyways, I went and did it anyway. It worked. By the time one day went by, they had fully customized Apple phones, the screens, the apps, the way you get to the apps, the organization of their apps. They've downloaded new apps. I hadn't even put the update in myself. So I started Googling about the update, and I found that Pinterest is having record downloads of the total amount. They're breaking daily download records of the people interested in iOS design. It has blown away records about the amount of posts on any software update ever. Twitter is doing the same. What's amazing is that it's Gen Z that's driving this. They are so mobile focused, so wanting to do it on their own. It is absolutely unbelievable. And this craze hasn't ended yet. We're 1 week in and it continues to expand. And now that all of our other generations are getting involved in this, what's amazing, David, is that they created smart automations. My 11-year-old daughter, who turned 12 this weekend, she has automations. I was blown away. She's writing rules to run certain apps when she wants. And she got this from other people on TikTok posting what they automated. What does this tell us? One, it tells us that we have a new type of potential college graduate employee coming to us in the next 10 years, but it also tells us we've got to be building for Gen Z. They're coming. It is so mobile focused. UWM's got the right picture. Many of us do already. We've got to drop everything, run and go mobile. It means we need to be mobile centric, mobile focused. Right. So that's my update for today. If you haven't Googled the iOS update, even if you're an Android fan, you don't like Apple, just go check out what people are doing. It's really crazy. Oh, and by the way, the ability for our industry, David, to plug in automation directly to iOS devices, iPads, phones, to check rates, to bring back data, it's all available now. So wait till iOS 15 comes out. It's going to be even crazier. Our industry, I bet you next year, a year from now, at Digital Mortgage, we're going to see more mobile and tablet integrated solutions than we've ever seen before.
Interesting.
So that's my prediction. I hope everyone has a fantastic week. Thank you for being awesome listeners. And on to Dr. Andy Schell.
Anyway, thank you so much, Alan. Appreciate it so much. Andy Schell, good to have you here with us, Fred.
Hey, Dave. Good afternoon.
Dr.
My pleasure, as always.
Yes.
Dr. Andy Schell. I'm kind of keeping it simple. So I want to deliver on one point Alan just said about the FFIEC is that they also have a requirement for a risk policy, liquidity risk. So there's lots of different risks. Wind covers lots of risks. But the key is liquidity risk in addition to social media risk and cyber risk and tons of other kind of risk. But the liquidity policy risk, the liquidity management is one of those things that's not really pursued a lot. As I mentioned last week or the week before, I wrote one recently for a client. And banks take this stuff seriously. I'm not as keen on mortgage companies taking it seriously, but now's the time to plan because what's going to happen in 2021? But on to the rest of the profit, doctor. So, Dave, you've heard of a balance sheet, about accounting reports, but why does the balance sheet balance? We know that it does. We're told that it does. We're told to check to make sure it does, but why? Who cares? So I'm going to be talking about the balance sheet and a tons of way more fun topics starting in 2 weeks when we launch the accounting webinar series, mortgage accounting webinar series, where I'm going to be talking about accounting, like the balance sheet, the income statement, structure of the income statement, why we measure the income statement of a mortgage company as we do using a cost of sales model so that we can predict future cash flow by looking at the gross margin. Now, that gets, saying those words doesn't mean anything, but there is amazing information in the P&L beyond just the bottom line. Just the way it's structured and the KPIs that come from it are expansive. It's really interesting to be able to predict your business. So we're going to talk about mortgage accounting, hedge accounting, mark-to-market, hedge impact, all that starting in 2 weeks. Go to mba.org, education, sign up. Back to the balance sheet, the balanced scales. So if we think about Newton's third law, which was the force law, force always comes in pairs, equal and opposite, action, reaction, force pairs, all that is Newton's third law. Now, if we think about that in terms of business with a equal and opposite reaction, or basically like a cause and effect, everything in business has a cause and effect. And so accounting's job is to track all of the cause and effect. So if you buy something, the cause and effect is you've taken your cash and now you have a desk. If you sell something, the cause and effect is, well, you now deliver the service and now you're going to get a payment or you received cash. Accounting tracks both events because there's always two. And this is how we manage accounting. It's called debits and credits, and there's always equal amounts of debits and credits. So even when the P&L shows a loss, or even when the P&L shows a profit, the cause and effect is always equal. The P&L always rolls up into the balance sheet and makes it equal. So if ever you look at a balance sheet and it is not equal, we automatically know that something's wrong. And not only is something wrong, but the extension from that in CPA land is the numbers can't be trusted. And if the numbers can't be trusted, then you can't make any decision about the roadmap that the financial statements are supposed to enable us to conclude. So we're going to have to really think about this. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. So join me next week, anyone who wants to talk more about this. It's actually designed for CEOs to be able to learn how to understand and manage a mortgage company. It's designed for a CFO to help CFOs have tools to communicate the information to CEO and the other governing body of a mortgage company. And even for the LO that wants to understand the big picture about how to run a successful mortgage company, that's interesting as well. And I'm going to predict, Dave, that the LOs this year that used to make really great money making 500 grand now made a million. And those that used to make millions are making magnitudes above that. What are they going to do with all the money? They need to invest it. They need to invest it wisely. They need to, after they buy the yacht, that's it. Don't buy anything else. Invest it with financial preservation tools, which could potentially be launch their own mortgage company. Yeah. You and I have done broker to banker or mortgage banker launches forever. There's a path. There's a roadmap. There's a way to get there. And one of the key things about success in mortgage lending for a startup like that is cash flow and financial measurement. Tons of other things too. But if you don't do that, you're almost guaranteed to fail. So it's very exciting what this could be for people.
Well, I think I got to be sure to sign up for your webinar. That's number one. But your story about balance sheet is really fun because you and I remember when we were together, you, Chuck, and I were working together at MBS, and they had this company come in that wanted us to help them with a warehouse line, and they brought their financials. And I remember I didn't look at the document because I was listening to him and what he's wanting to achieve. And I'm looking over at you, and you have this really curious look on your face. And you were trying to be so respectful. You said, did you like look at these financials? Did you personally approve these financials? And you go, well, yeah. And he says, do you know your balance sheet doesn't balance? And the guy looked down at him and somehow that little detail had missed him. So it's amazing. Oh, it was such one of those moments you go like, yep. Maybe this guy needs to have another trip around the mountain before he's ready to start a mortgage company, get his own warehouse line. If he doesn't understand the balance sheet, he needs a balance. Pretty basic stuff, but it's amazing.
What's funny about that, Dave, that story is that's reputation risk. Having bad financials is reputation risk because that was the third day of the conference, and I'd already given that out to 30 different warehouse line lenders. Yep. Back then, there were a ton of them.
Yep.
And all of them now know these guys don't know accounting. That's bad. Yep.
It's real bad because what's so important is, we're a business that manages risk and interest rate, but the foundation under it all is accounting. If you don't understand the basics, like a balance sheet balancing, you've got a problem. So anyway, that's what we're here. We're here to help you. get a hold of us in advance. That's the point. Anyway, Andy, thank you so much for being here each and every week. Folks, thanks so much for being here for the first part of this podcast. This ends our weekly update, but if you're listening live, don't go away because we're going to move right into our hot topic segment. If you're listening on a downloaded basis, just stay tuned. We're going to go right on into that, but it is a separate podcast. So if you're here, stay right here with us as we're going to head into our hot topic segment. Folks, good to have you here with us on the Hot Topic segment on this fabulous day here in Central Texas. We're coming to you live nationwide, and we have as a special guest Brent Emler. He's Senior Vice President of Sales at Velma, as well as his guest, who he invited to talk about one of the exciting things that Velma is doing, and we have Kim Baker here, VP of IT. So we'll get into these introductions. I don't want to repeat it, but anyway, it's a very interesting interview. I encourage you to stay tuned, and here we go.
Folks, good to have you here with us again. We got a special guest with us, Brent Emler, and he, because he's so boring, he has to bring someone else along as a guest, and we're so excited because we've got one of his customers who I've had the privilege to get to know here for a few minutes, Kim, and we're going to get started. But Brent, give us an update. Good to hear your voice. How you doing, friend?
Oh, I'm doing terrific, David. Thank you for having me on. And you're right. I wanted to bring Kim on to bring some energy to the interview. She's a really dynamic executive over at Highlands Residential. Really excited to be working with Highlands. And over at Velma here, we've been in the CRM business for many years and really supporting loan officers on the front end of the mortgage transaction with sales and marketing tools. And over the last couple of years, we've really moved into a new space.
Yeah, I think it's important, as you say, moving. It doesn't mean you've abandoned the CRM. You still have it. It's effective tools. It's a great solution, but you've added some new services. Talk about that real quickly. I think that's the topic of today's discussion and why Kim's here, but give us a quick overview.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're still going very strong with the CRM. It's a great space. We love the space. But what we found is that as a technology provider, one of the things you really want to do is you want to solve problems. You want to solve big problems. And certainly business development is a big problem. And there's been a lot of money thrown at the CRM space. And we've all been very effective at helping loan officers be more productive in terms of business development. But what we found is that loan officers have a big problem, and that is productivity, right? And because they're pulled into two different worlds, they've got to go out into this business development space, and they've got to develop the business. And then they're very involved, depending on the organization, the loan officer, their team, and all of that. But they're very involved in the production of the mortgage transaction.
Right.
And it's historically been a pretty clunky process. I think we all agree with that. Very manual, lots of manual looking at data, manual outlook messages from this person to that person. It's a pretty clunky process. And because we've got this communication technology, we decided, you know what, let's get into the space of enabling loan officers to be more productive and spend more time on business development. That's really where a salesperson should spend their time. That's really when you're hiring a salesperson. If you think about the persona of a salesperson is a relationship. They've got sales skills and those types of things. And oftentimes, as you very well know, David, that does not jive well with being detail-oriented. I obviously know that very well, too.
The giggle you hear in the background is Kim. So introduce Kim. Give us a little insight. She is just bundles of energy.
Oh, Kim is just fantastic. I really wanted to invite Kim on the call because I really see Kim as the new face of the mortgage industry, really bringing a technology focus to that conversation. And Kim certainly does that. She's really dynamic, and I'm excited to have her on the call today.
All right. Kim, so good to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I already had a chance to visit with you before we went live and thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, but a little bit about yourself and your company, if you could.
I work for Highlands Residential Mortgage. I am in IT. I started actually on the origination side of the house. So I started as a setup coordinator, moved to a processor, loan officer, and then eventually made my way over to IT.
So how did you connect with my good friend, Brent?
We actually have a mutual partner that we had presented with a need. And they said, hey, we don't build this exactly, but we have somebody we think might can do it for you. And that's how we got introduced to the whole Velma team. We actually set up a couple of email distributions that we had going out of a different system for initial disclosures, and then we built a change of circumstance email. Basically just notifies our business, one email for each in the morning and one in the afternoon that says, hey, you've got some things that are due today, so that they're not having to constantly take their computer, because Encompass is not something that's just not feasible to have to tote your computer around and get notifications and look at pipeline views and that kind of thing. So we built this with Velma, and it's an email that gets sent to our loan officers, loan officer assistants, and processors, and then in the afternoon, our compliance and executive teams, to make them aware of who still has items that are outstanding, especially initial disclosures that are due today. And they just get the email, takes them to a link. They can see everything that they have that needs to go out and get with their processor and say, hey, get on this, get it out, move on, go to the next loan. So that's how it started. And then we've since built a COA pipeline with them. We took kind of something they had and we tweaked it, and it actually went live this week, and we have a phase two coming next week. So we're rocking.
Oh, that's so good to hear. They've been a sponsor for a long time. Brent's been a dear friend, someone I look up to. We're soulmates when it comes to certain aspects of our personality, but also I look at the innovation and how he communicates. Brent, give us some insights how this came about and what you would like the industry to be aware of and what solutions you are bringing to help some less organized loan officers out there.
Yeah. So what I would say in terms of how we got to where we're at, we actually acquired some technology back in 2017. And our objective there when we made that acquisition was to improve our marketing automation. So this was a plugin for Encompass, and we acquired that plugin, and then we built some technology on top of that. And our objective, like I said, was to improve our marketing automation, improve the value of our CRM. What happened, David, was as we were doing that and we partnered up with Lender Toolkit, what we started finding out as we unpacked this plugin that we purchased was that there's a big world out there that we weren't aware of because we're so focused on the sales and marketing side of the business. And as we started unpacking things, we found things like ECOA and Reg B, and in particular NOI letters. And this is a really big problem. And I've spoken to probably 50 lenders over the last 6 months.
Wow.
And every single lender has the same problem. And that is with ECOA, for example, and this is just one out of many workflows, if you will, that's a challenge. They spend an enormous amount of time manually reviewing pipeline views, manually sending out emails to loan officers, crossing your fingers and hoping you get a response. And when you don't, then you have to go scramble and try to figure out what to put on the NOI letter and get it out the door. That's a big problem, and it's very clunky. And honestly, it creates a really poor customer experience. And so we said, let's develop an ECOA workflow that, number one, eliminates all of that manual reviewing of the data, manual Outlook messages. It's 2020. Let's move beyond that. So we eliminated that. Number two, let's engage the loan officer. Let's get them to participate and give them a reason to participate in this process. This
Good.
Is non-traditionally, this is non-revenue generating activity. And as a salesperson, why do I want to participate in something that's non-revenue generating? So now we want to give the loan officer a reason to participate in this process. So now they're going to participate in this process. We're going to change their behavior. And then finally, and maybe most importantly, let's provide a tremendous customer experience so that if a borrower is halfway through the process, they've given you a bunch of information, but there's just a few things left to get them approved, let's make it really easy for them to do that. Let's not send a piece of paper in the mail that they're going to get 10 days later. That's ridiculous. So anyway, that's one of the workflows we developed with our product Connector, which you can see at meetconnector.com. And so again, that's one of the products that we developed and one of the reasons why we started talking to Highlands. And then Highlands was exciting because they had Kim, and Kim immediately had three or four different workflows that she had in mind to streamline the process of communication and make it easier for loan officers to get their job done.
Kim, I got to go to this because he's got great ideas. But thankfully, Brent is different than many other software vendors that seem to have great ideas but seem to have difficulty on executing. But talk about the execution. You heard him talk about that. You having an LO background, you immediately go, oh yeah, I can totally imagine that connection. What is the process you went through to actually implement this? Was this something that it's easy to get on the sales side but difficult to implement? Or how did that all come together for you?
Everything's been really streamlined, and the Velma team is really good about making sure that they stay on top of all of the timelines and getting it done quickly. And then hearing what we say, honestly, is the biggest thing. Hearing not just from the technology aspect, but hearing from my end what the users need. We had our meeting, went through business requirements, and we were rolling. This week, we implemented the ECOA NOI piece. It's phase one, and we get our first NOI letter within 25 days, as long as the LO didn't do their piece yet or the borrower hasn't gotten it to them. But the turn time was so fast. And just having that email at their fingertips on their cell phone, especially right now with COVID, having it right there where they can click the email, do their selections on their device right there, and then it talks right back to the LOS is amazing. Saves them time. They don't have to fiddle around looking for stuff, finding it, going to the LOS and trying to figure out what they need to do. And actually, I don't even know if Brent knows this yet, but one of the guys on my team, he just built an additional piece of functionality that will automatically move those files once the NOI has or has not been completed in a certain way to the adverse folder. So that's not even manual anymore. So it takes that whole piece, that whole extra step from even from our compliance's hands. They only have to look at the file if it needs to be reviewed. And so just having just for the NOI piece right now is so crucial because our business is booming just like everybody else. We haven't slowed down with COVID. So them having the ability to just do one or two clicks and then get it on its way. And if the borrower had credit pulled and they've already sent it, they get an electronic notification. It doesn't even have to go out in the mail. Brent and his team have built this in such a way that for those borrowers that have already taken that piece and that step, there's nothing fulfillment has to do as far as mail. Only those borrowers that haven't e-consented get a piece of mail. It's just, it's really fabulous.
When you talk about workflows, I think more people are struggling with their intentionality on workflows. I think it's probably one of the services we provide as a consulting firm. We do a lot on helping people look at that. Sounds like you're familiar with the concept and have really been focusing on it. Talk a little bit about that.
The LO comes in, they get as much information as they can from their borrower. The borrower says, okay, I'll get all of these three remaining items to you. And then it just gets busy and they forget. The LO keeps following up. And then they just don't have time. They need to move on to regular loans that are moving forward and going to close. And so they've gotten a little bit of information into the LOS, but they don't have the guts of what they really need to make any decision on the loan. So at that 25-day marker, if the loan officer has not received from that borrower what they need, the notification will be sent to the loan officer in an email, open it up on Outlook, on their device, wherever. They can select the choices for what's missing. The notice, again, if e-consented already by the borrower exists, the notice will go electronically to the borrower's email. Borrower gets it. They can either give the LO what they need or they just don't. Yeah. And then 5 days later, it gets adverse. Simple, easy peasy. If they provide the LO what they need, then their loan gets to trucking and they're moving right along, getting ready to close down the line. As far as the system, once the LO puts in their selection in Outlook, it goes through Connector, goes into Encompass. The system is updated. The LOS shows what it needs to show for compliance purposes. The letter that was either emailed to the borrower or mailed USPS goes into the e-folder placeholder for audit purposes as well. That's documented. And it's all there and ready to go. So it's just really simple. It's just virtually no touch to the file until the borrower provides what they need.
So talk a little bit about how this has been received by the group. And let me tell you, if I'm a loan officer, anything you could do to ease the load on the things I don't like to do and allow me to stay focused on the things I do enjoy doing is going to be widely accepted. Is that what you've been experiencing?
So we just implemented it and we're actually in the process because we had that 25-day window before the first letter. We've had plenty of time to work on the training videos, the notices to the field. So there's not really been any impact to them yet that they've seen. The first one that they're going to see, I believe, is on October 6th. Again, if they don't complete their steps with their borrower, but that would be the first notification that we would get. We're actually in the process of doing some training videos and we're going to send that out in our formal announcement fashion that we do. Just making them aware that, hey, here's how it's going to go. You don't have to do all the manual steps anymore. Just open your email, make a few clicks, go on about your day. Easy peasy.
I love it, making it easier, simple. But going back, and Brent, talking about other systems, Kim uses LEB Encompass, probably one of the most widely used, and now it's been acquired by ICE. We expect it to continue to have a new leg of life to it, I think is one of the things. Many of us were concerned that this was starting to die. But talk about other systems, Brent. Does it work as well with other systems? Talk about it.
Our Velma CRM is LOS agnostic. The Connector platform is architected to also be LOS agnostic. Thus far, it is integrated with Encompass, and we're working on a NetOx integration as well. For Connector, is a bridge application. It's middleware, if you will, for a little bit more technical term. And its objective there is to sit in between a data source like an LOS or a larger CRM deployment or depository lender's data source, sit in between that and our communication technology.
Boil that down. Does it work? work as easy with other systems as it does for GIM?
Yeah, so I would say in terms of the other types of communication workflows that we have outside of eCOA, and I can certainly speak to the impact and the feedback that we've had from other lenders using the eCOA solution, the loan officer feedback, the engagement that we get. So one of the objections that I often get in the sales process is, oh, that's just another email that my loan officers are going to get and they're just going to ignore it. That's just absolutely not true, because what we're doing is we're bringing a body of work to the loan officers. They've got a lot of tasks. And so we consolidate all of those tasks into one user interface on the landing page, and we make their life a lot easier. And as we make their life easier and they engage with our communication workflows, our landing pages, and all of those things talk back to Encompass, we're effectively bringing the LOS experience. Instead of having to log into an LOS, you can just do it all from your mobile device. So it's easier. And so technology's got to make things easier, but it's also got to deliver big results. And one of the examples of that is the NOI letter that's going out to the borrower digitally. So instead of sending a piece of paper in the mail to the borrower saying, these are the things that we're missing, the borrower is going to ignore that because whoever opens mail anyway, they're going to get this email. It's going to be hyper-personalized. It's going to be relevant. It's going to be topical. It's going to be right on time. And most importantly, it's coming from the loan officer. This is really important on engagement. Number two, it's hyper-personalized because we're using data from the LOS to hyper-personalize it. So you're going to get that engagement. And number three, this is what the loan officers love. It's branded with their information. We're effectively creating a marketing opportunity here to get in front of this borrower with a beautiful, mobile responsive, useful email from the loan officer automatically. They don't have to do anything. And David, here's the key. We are resurrecting transactions.
How is this a resurrecting transaction? Talk about that.
Because we're delivering that NOI letter immediately when the time is right, we're also presenting a button to the lender's digital mortgage, consumer-facing digital mortgage. So as a borrower, I'm not getting this piece of paper in the mail and then not really knowing what am I supposed to do with that. I get an email, press the button, and I can upload my tax return, and now I'm moving forward. And the loan officer can get notified, and the borrower can easily reach out to the loan officer. Now what we've done is we've said there's a compliance problem, but honestly, you know what the real problem is? It's not a compliance problem. It's a conversion problem. This is a conversion problem. If you look at the pull-through rate on files started, it is abysmal across the industry, right? And that's largely because loan officers get really busy and they don't follow up. And so we're doing that follow-up for them. We're a digital assistant and a compliance solution at the same time.
I agree with everything Brent said. It is very much a piece that gets missed when the loan officers get so busy. If you don't live in your LOS, then you typically don't have a really good pipeline view and you're just flying by the seat of your pants. And that's not always a good thing. If you don't have a big team, it's really hard to miss. When your borrowers are getting this electronically, just like when the loan officer did, it's super convenient, but they can immediately upload those docs. And then again, you're ready to roll. It's really difficult whenever you've got a big book of business and you're trying to get them all handled, you will miss some. That's why you have files that sit in file started forever and ever and compliance is freaking out because nothing's ever been done with them. It's not because you didn't want to. It's just they got missed. So now you don't really have that excuse. You can literally bring files back from the dead. You have that window of opportunity and you can. Brent is 100% correct.
Okay, so as we wrap this up, I heard one CEO, one of my clients say, technology is death by a thousand cuts. Everybody wants a little bit of bleeding off income and wanting this to cost more. So what's the cost benefit, Kim, that you realize out of this? Is this an added expense? Is it more expense than practical, or is this actually net revenue positive for you?
Oh, I think it is. I'm following. The cost is far outweighed by the benefit. Again, it's just the fact that Velma can take an e-consent that was done on the file early on and utilize that instead of having to go print from the copier, put it in an envelope, stick a stamp on it, walk to the post office or wherever the mailbox is, put it in the mailbox. All that time is money outside of the cost for your stamp, your envelope, and your paper. It's just that e-consent piece is huge and a massive time and money saver. And then, like you said, bringing the loans back. When you bring a loan back, that's money in your pocket.
That's excellent. Brent, wrap it up for us. Talk about that a little bit. What is the cost of something of the service like this? And what are some of your customers other than Kim saying about it?
David, we've really expanded the connector platform, and we are now supporting several very large wholesale lenders as well with a lot of TPO communications. Oh. And so the cost structure of connector, we really took the Amazon consumption model approach and it's on a per job basis. So each time we execute a communication out to a borrower or a realtor or a loan officer, a TPO loan officer, any of the stakeholders, file contacts, that we consider that a job. So it's very much like the Amazon model, and the average, depending on the size of the organization, the average communication per job is about 5 cents, which is very cost effective. And as the company grows and gets more value out of the system, like I said, it's a consumption model and following the same model as Amazon, very low incremental price. And then as you use the system and get more value out of it, if you think about it, this is not just sending an email, right? This is sending an email that has a landing page where someone can interact with it and then push data back into the LOS or back into another solution. Mm-hmm. We're even collecting appraisal fees and pushing that data back into the LOS. So there's just a tremendous amount of value in each one of those jobs, if you will, or communication touch points.
I love what you do, Brent. I love the spirit of what you do. You're passionate about what you do, but also there's a level of innovativeness and brilliance that's always been a connect with you. It's one of the reasons I love hanging with you. And then the best part also beyond that is you get to introduce me to really fun, cool people that also share a passion for our industry and doing it right. Yep. That's Kim. Kim, yeah, what a delight to meet you. You're a fellow Texan. You're up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So it's really a joy to have you join us today. Very, very good to have you. Brent, thank you so much for coming on here.
All right. I think that wrapped up. Anyway, so good to have had both Kim and Brent on. Go back and listen to this. Share this with others. If you're a loan officer listening to this, make sure you share this with your IT, your managers, so you're aware of it. It's a great solution. I want to say next week we have coming our roundtable discussion. Our regulars are going to sit around and talk about some of the issues facing the industry. Always a well-received podcast when we have the regulars sit around talking about the issues. Be sure to check back next week for that discussion. And I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, who is also there with a great solutions. And you need to check it out. Go to our website, Lickin' on Lending, as well as their website, finastra.com, and go to Moving Mortgage, as well as Community Mortgage Lenders of America, as well as Indicom, Accelerate, Ainsworth Advisors, Mobility RE, and Modex. So many others out there that we can't take the time to talk about, but you can see them on our sponsorship page. Have a great week, everybody. Look forward to having you back here next week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin' of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.